This is fun! The FU Network.
Now, let's listen.
Originating from Fun, the FU Network's base north of Toronto, and bringing in voices from coast to coast, this is FU Politics, discussion and debate show, Rock'em Sock'em Politics. Welcome to Rock'em Sock'em Politics. I'm Ed the Sock, and joining me tonight, we've got two panelists, because, I don't know, for some reason, a bunch of the others aren't available, or I didn't contact them, and I actually don't really care, because we've got a lot of juicy topics tonight, and sometimes when we have, on this show, we have like four or five panelists. Some people get to talk, some people don't, and there's at least one person who says something completely moronic, and we have to endure that. So I'm glad that tonight we've just got the three of us, and we're going to talk about a bunch of issues. Though I'm very surprised that Stuart Benson, our regular panelist, our conspiracy theorist, who was convinced that Epstein, what was his, Andrew Epstein? Was that his name? Whatever the fuck his
Jeffrey
name
is. Epstein.
Jeffrey Epstein. Who fucking cares? And Jeffrey Epstein didn't kill himself, that he was murdered. And I mocked him because of his conspiracy theories and going on. And it turns out they found out this week, looks like he didn't kill himself, unless he's able to commit homicide against himself, which technically wouldn't be homicide. So I'm surprised he's not available to do a victory lap. So in his place, I am saluting him. His conspiracy that Jeffrey Epstein was murdered may very well be true. However, it did not involve the Clintons nor Stanley Kubrick faking the moon landing. All right, joining us today, Hafiz Nourani from out in Vancouver. He's a digital content and something other specialist. Hi, Hafiz.
Hey, Ed. How you doing?
I'm good. And Lauren Griffith from the wilds of Barrie, Ontario, joining us.
So wild. How you doing, Ed?
Good. All right. We got interesting topics to talk about tonight. We're going to talk about American politics. We're going to talk about Canadian politics. We're going to talk about Ontario politics. First thing I want to mention as a last sort of word about the last election that we just endured, which is like the most grueling race I can ever imagine. It was a horrible, drawn out, torturous. It was like being put on the rack and just every day, somebody turning it longer, you know, more and more. It was like a torture chamber, that entire election. But one thing I discovered when I was doing my streeters for 22 minutes for CBC, they sent me out to talk to people who had just voted. And just not to ask them who they voted for, but just questions that were both serious and silly about the election. And one of the things I found is that when it came to the issue of blackface and brownface, people of color, which is a term I can't stand, because I don't know why, it just sounds patronizing. But people of color, when you mentioned blackface, brownface, they were all, to a man or woman, all of them said, oh, please, I don't give a crap about that. He's done so much for us since he's been in office. I don't give a shit about that. I care about what he does now. Whereas the young white voters were, that is unforgivable. I could never forgive it. It is. And so what I found is that the generation that is always telling us, don't judge, are the most judgy sons of bitches ever. And I think that's because they haven't lived long enough to have done things that they will regret in 20 years. Like, they may be doing the thing right now that in 20 years they will regret, but they need the 20 years in order to be able to look back and regret it. They have no life experience to be able to relate to the idea of doing something stupid when you're young that later on you say, what the hell was I thinking? They're just such judgy people. And the truth is, when they say don't judge, what they really mean is don't have a knee-jerk reaction. Because don't tell me not to judge. Why do you think I have fucking judgment? It's the stupidest thing. Yeah, let's get rid of our court systems because it'll go to the judge. Don't judge. Stupid term altogether. But they are the most judgmental of anybody. And that's because they haven't got the life experience yet to really understand what it is to do something stupid when you're young and then look back and say, I did something really stupid when I was young. All right. Lots of topics today. We're going to go first to the United States. And Hafiz, when I put out the call this week for topics, Hafiz was right there with a topic he wanted to talk about. So Hafiz, introduce the topic and let's go.
Hey, Ed. So today I wanted to talk about Katie Hill. You know, this is something probably everyone has heard of on the news right now. She is a U.S. politician out of California, and she is recently leaving the House as a representative of California after it came out that she had sort of had a affair with two of her staffers. Now, it's House rule that that was recently passed that, you know, there's not supposed to be interactions between staff and you know, politicians that have been elected because of some sort of aspect of them having a more empowering role over them. So the big issue here, though, is the manner in which we got this come out of the woodwork. She's been a victim of having her private photos of a interaction that she had.
I like how you put that. Interaction.
Look, interaction. Well, like, look, I don't want to
slant it. They weren't having coffee. Maybe coffee was involved somehow in the photographs. I don't know.
Yeah.
There was dirty, basically, you're leaving out the most salacious part, and which is probably the reason that she's actually quitting, which is that a conservative outlet released photographs. She's openly bisexual, Katie Hill, and, you know, as a representative from California, that's actually representing California pretty well. But she's openly bisexual. She had a consensual relationship with a female campaign staffer, and the man who was her husband, who she's divorcing now, released photos of a sexual nature.
Revenge porn. Yeah, it's revenge porn.
Yeah, of her with, I believe, this a different woman. And I think it's more of those naked sexual pictures that are causing her to resign than breaking this other rule. I don't know. But, you know, when you talk about, we can't avoid that part of it because that's a huge part of the story. And they also threatened to release more and more pictures and text messages unless she resigned. This is this conservative outlet, which, does anybody else besides me remember when conservatives were about not releasing sexual pictures, were about combating pornography, were about picketing adult video stores, when that was what U.S. conservatism was about, and now they're about releasing naked sexual pictures online? Like, what the hell? That's not conservative. That's just, they need a new term in the United States and even here for conservative, because those are not conservative values of propriety and respect and keeping things, you know, family friendly. It's just people clinging to power. But I digress. Go on, Hafiz.
Look, there's another issue that I have with this, and it's the hypocrisy, the sheer hypocrisy, because the Republicans try to push Roy Moore, who has been proven to have had a relationship with an underage person.
Her mother said it was okay.
Her mother said it was okay. Look, what is this? Like, it's a Middle Eastern trade thing, where a bazaar where you trade your daughter?
It's actually the U.S. South, which is its own, which is its own thing altogether.
Huh. The irony. Anyway, they really have no leg to stand on here. You try to put someone that is guilty of pedophilia or into the office. And I mean,
well, it wasn't pedophilia. It was more pederasty. They weren't actually children. They just weren't legal. Not that I'm defending the guy.
Wait,
but
I have way
saying.
Too many terms for all these things that I know. Anyway, but one way or another, look, they have no issues putting these perverts into office. But look, the Democrats, whenever they do anything bad, they just give up right away. I mean, the Republicans stood through the entire vote. They ran with Roy Moore to the bitter end. And I just think it's that on the left, we come across as weak, because when we just quit like this out of the blue, it gives them all the credibility to the other side to continue on with the attacks, making this side look like, you know, we don't have a backbone.
All right, well, I'm going to go to Lauren in a second, but just to fact check a little bit there, the Republican Party did not stand with Roy Moore all the way through. And as it progressed, they were saying, no, he's not our guy. They backed away from Roy Moore, which is why he lost. But Lauren, your thoughts. Is there a double standard?
100%. There's 100% a double standard just between the two parties in and of themselves anyways, consistently. But if we're speaking to this, with Roy Moore, I could be...
Let's not talk about Roy Moore because it leaves a bad taste in my soul. But
that's fine with me. Like, okay, so with Mitch McConnell, right? He was perfectly okay with stacking... the courts when there was a Republican president, Donald Trump, but when it was Barack Obama, there was no way that he was going to allow Merrick Garland to be on the Supreme Court. Right?
Well, that's politics. I mean, you know what? Democrats have been guilty of doing the same thing back and forth. That's not even a double standard. That's just standard.
All right. Yeah.
But you know,
with the president.
What about Brett Kavanaugh? Like they stood by him to the very. Yes. They did back him up till the very end, even though
they still back him up.
Yes,
they still back him up. And here's the thing, okay? Here's, I understand what you're saying about a double standard, about demanding that Katie Hill resign because of this consensual relationship and because of these naked pictures, while at the same time standing up behind, say, let's say, Brett Kavanaugh. In the case of Brett Kavanaugh, it happened many years ago. There were no photographs. It was very difficult to verify. Whereas with Katie Hill, there were the pictures. It was right there, and the affair was, it was piping hot fresh. So there's not necessarily an apples to apples comparison here.
No,
but just on the notion of being on a moral plane, here's the thing. Nobody really forced Katie Hill to resign.
No, that's true.
Okay. Nobody forced her, though. I think she had her arm twisted the same way poor Al Franken did. No one forced her. She herself, I believe, determined that she didn't want to be a distraction from what's going on in Washington right now. And Trump is looking so hard for any kind of distraction from the impeachment. She didn't want to provide that circus sideshow. Same way Al Franken resigned even before there was an inquiry. He didn't want to be a circus sideshow and hurt his party from the focus they were on. So she resigned because she's a decent person. And also, I think, she was embarrassed. I think that she maybe felt she shouldn't be ashamed that she had this consensual sex with somebody. But I understand that there's still a shame at somebody releasing private sexual photos of you. She had a sense of shame. Whereas you got Donald Trump, who during the campaign to become president, talked about grabbing women by their nether regions. Numerous cases of him being sexually inappropriate with women or worse. You've got other Republicans who have been accused of sexual improprieties and have not resigned. And that's because they don't have any shame. So there really isn't there really isn't a double standard. There is a standard. The standard is that people who do these things, which distract and hurt their party and which bring shame to them or their party, good, honorable people resign. But there's nothing forcing people to feel shame or act on that shame or resign. So the double standard that I see is that we've got a party, the Democrats, who still feel that they owe something to their constituents, a certain level of behavior and propriety. And then you've got the Republicans who don't give a shit because there's nothing forcing them. I think when the founders of the United States framed the Constitution, they assumed that all the people that were going to be assuming office had some sense of shame and decorum going forward. And boy, were they wrong, because there's nothing in there forcing somebody to resign when they violated, you know, rules of shame and decorum. Lauren, what do you have to say?
Going back to what Hafiz said earlier, like, the Democrats really are kind of spineless, though. She really could have put up way more of a fight there.
Exactly.
You know, she could have, you know, sure, you know, the whole distraction thing, whatever. You can say, this happened, this was a thing, okay, I'm not resigning because I still have a job to do, and my constituents voted me in to do this job. You know, I'm not going to pay any more mind to this, and I highly suggest that you as the media pay attention to what the president is up to, because I, you know, had consensual sex, whoopee-doo. He, on the other hand, is, you know, shredding our constitution and our democracy. So have a focus on that instead of what's going on behind closed doors.
Yeah, but you know what? If there's a new rule about fraternizing with subordinates, which exists in many companies because there is a power imbalance, and she violated an actual rule, I think she kind of had to resign. She broke a rule. She broke a recently adopted rule, and fighting against that, you know what? It was recently adopted. It was agreed to. So she broke the rule. Now, maybe she could have asked for some leniency and said, I did the wrong thing. I will do better. I don't know the reading of the actual statute that would force her out.
And it's important.
You go on, Lauren.
Sorry, it's important to know as well, like, what the actual consequences were, right? Because if the consequences for breaking that recently adopted rule was, you know, whatever, the staffer gets fired or whatever, right? Like, it may not have been, the consequence is immediately the
dismissal.
Exactly, right? Usually, if we were to break a rule for our jobs that was recently adopted, usually there is some kind of
arbitration or something.
Yeah. Well, there's sometimes it's grandfathered, that if this occurred before the rule was changed, then it's grandfathered that you're not covered by it. But you know what? The fact is that when you get the problem is that we've got people who have some moral character on one side, and people without any moral character on the other side. She legitimately, because she broke a rule, she felt that that it was only appropriate that she resign. I understand that. And listen, going all the way back to the Clinton impeachment hearings, Republicans were bringing their mistresses to sit in the front row and watch the hearings. It was publicized at the time. It was all about Clinton having sex with an intern, and they were prosecuting him for that, and at the same time sitting there with their mistresses. This kind of double standard has gone on for a very long time. And to your point, Lauren, about, you know, she should be saying, I'm going to stay because I have a job to do, and we should be focusing on the president and what he's done to the Constitution. It's all well and good for her to say that. But the media is not going. If there's naked pictures, naked pictures, same-sex women pictures, the media can't look away. They're not going to look away. There will be a distraction, and it will help the Republicans distract from what Trump has done. It'll just contribute to the circus atmosphere. She almost had no choice. Hafiz.
I see where you're coming from on this. And you know what? Part of why, when she spoke up today, that she was saying she was leaving because she doesn't want to bring any more hurt to the people around her. And she wants to fight the case on the grounds of her privacy being breached. And I think she needs to focus on that right now, because revenge porn at the end of the day should be illegal in our society. You should not be able to do this to anyone else. You know, it's a new phenomenon because of our internet culture, where we can easily publicize a private photo, because when we take a photo, there isn't just one copy of it anymore. The moment you share it, every time you share it is a new copy. And someone's naked photo can be widely dispersed now. It used to be before that, you know, it would only rely on the publications. And unless you had a sleazy publication print out someone's photos, it wouldn't ever get published. But now you have the internet, and all you got to do is throw it on Twitter, or you can throw it on a multitude of other sites like 4chan, and off it goes.
Well, here's the problem, though. Okay, here's the problem that we're facing. Okay, first of all, to any women or men out there, you're in a relationship with somebody now. You think it's great and sexy and sensual to have photographs taken. Okay, first of all, if you're not married and you're living in separate places, keep the photographs on your phone, okay? I'm going to tell you, as a guy, ladies, do not let the guy take the pictures on his phone, because it is more rare for a woman to release a picture afterwards of a man and a woman having sex, because it doesn't actually harm the man. It doesn't actually harm his reputation. Yeah. In many cases, it burnishes it. So listen, ladies, if you want to have sex and videotape it, boy, do I sound old, record it on your phone or take pictures of it, do it on your phone. Keep control of the media.
And don't share it on Snapchat.
Don't send it to anybody. Do not send it. You know, if you want to show somebody on your screen, on the phone physically, fine. But don't send it. Because each state in the United States, for example, I don't know the specifics of the laws here, but people have rights of publicity. In other words, they have the different states have different rules about who has the right to control their image being distributed. Like New York and California, completely different rules about that. So if you send a picture of yourself naked or performing some kind of act, and the person distributes it, you really, in many cases, have got to take some of that blame yourself, because you were being stupid trusting somebody with a digital photograph. It's not like the old days, like Hafiz said, where they were actually physical pieces of paper, photo paper, that, you know, you'd have to carry around and show people, and it was limited to the distribution. Now, yeah, it can get anywhere. So really, revenge porn is evil and it's terrible. And also, the person who is the victim is in some ways culpable, because don't have pictures of you that you're going to be embarrassed of somebody seeing in the possession of somebody else, and never send them on the internet, okay? Just don't. It's easy to avoid being a victim of revenge porn. Don't give someone else control of pictures of yourself that you don't want distributed, because I guarantee you, ladies, I guarantee you that you send a picture of your boobs, okay, to the guy you're seeing, and you better not be concerned about that getting around, because even if the guy says, I won't show anybody, chances are he's lying, because the only real power, it's like a secret. Keeping a secret gives you no power. It's sharing the secret that gives you power and makes you important. With photos, if a guy gets a picture from his girlfriend with her boobs, he's going to show it to his friends, because that makes him a big shot, okay? So don't do it. Even if he says he'll never show it to anybody, look, if he wants to see your boobs and you guys are in a relationship, do it in person. Don't do the pictures thing. And I mean, even for guys, Anthony Weiner, what a ironic name, sending pictures of his junk to women. Now, the issue there was that they weren't of age, but some of them were. And I think they weren't of age, but the issue was he was sending pictures of his junk, and it embarrassed his wife, who's a very dignified, wonderful woman, and hurt the Clinton campaign terribly. And it's his own fault. Don't send pictures of your body or of you doing something that you are not okay with the entire world seeing at some point. That's my advice to you. All right, who wants to speak?
Oh, wow. Look, I don't want to say that people who are victims of revenge porn are also to blame. I empathize with what's going on with them because, look, when you're in a modern relationship these days, the technology that's around you plays a huge part of it. And anyone that's on social channels like Snapchat, Instagram, stories and whatnot can see what's going on. Because of how things go and how relationships go with and the use of cell phones, we need to come to a common understanding amongst ourselves that it's never okay to share this without the other person's consent in a public setting, especially once you break up, right?
Okay, you know what? Yeah. Coming, what do you mean come to an agreement? There's no coming to agreements.
A law. There has to be a law against that.
Like, that's what you need, a law.
Yes.
Okay, yeah. There needs to be, but again,
comes from a social consensus amongst people that say, you know, this is not okay. And I think as time progresses, you're going to see more and more of this revenge porn. You've already seen quite a bit of it. It's already caused some people to commit suicide.
Which is horrible and terrible. And in the case of poor Rataya Parsons, a teenager in Canada, she wasn't even really conscious of the fact these photographs were being taken. And she was pretty much being sexually assaulted, but the pictures were distributed, and out of shame, this poor girl killed herself. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about somebody who was made insensate, had pictures taken when they weren't fully aware that this was happening. I'm not talking about that. Those people are 100% victims, no question. But
she didn't know these videos were being taken, though, a lot of the times. I think in a couple of them, like the one where she's
you're
naked.
You're talking about Katie Hill.
Yeah, Katie Hill. Yeah, I'm sorry. I should go back. Katie Hill she wasn't aware of a lot of the content that was made. And I guess that might also be a problem with threesomes, right? Watch that
third
person.
How the hell do you not know there's a camera? I mean, it's possible.
Well, or that, you know, people, like, in one of the pictures, she's just brushing the other girl's hair. One of them's naked, her. And
Hafiz, why were you looking at these pictures?
Look,
I didn't look at these pictures. Lauren, did you look at these pictures?
Look, you hit the Google search, you get them.
No, only when you hit Google image search. When you hit Google search, you get the story.
Look,
when you hit Google image search.
They were in articles. They were right there.
No, the articles did not show the nudity.
They went
looking.
No. They were blurred out, but there are there. Like the Daily Mail, the main publication that pushed this, they didn't blur shit. They didn't hold back.
And you know what the thing is like those pictures of Jennifer Lawrence and celebrities that get their phones hacked and they got naked pictures and it gets out there. And you know what the thing is? It's easy to say, but I didn't even look because I wasn't curious about her body beforehand. And I wasn't curious afterwards either. But I think people who weren't even curious about Jennifer Lawrence, for example, beforehand, looked at the pictures because not because they were particularly interested in Jennifer Lawrence, but because they knew that these were pictures of things they weren't supposed to see. So there's that lure of it. And as far as the law, the problem is there's a question as to who owns the photograph or the video. And you know, cause if you pose for a photographer, and you know you're posing for the photographer. Most professional photographers will have you sign a release form, but not all do. Or if you're posing for a picture on the street, And that picture winds up online. You don't just, you don't like the way you look in the picture. You're not naked. You're not performing fellatio, but you don't like the way you look in the picture. You consented to have your picture taken. And there's an argument as to whether you consented to have it distributed as well. There's so many gray areas here. And in the U.S. with states' rights, it varies state to state. I don't know if we can pass. I don't think it falls under federal purview in Canada. I think it would fall under provincial legislation as well. But there's just no way. And by the way, once those pictures are out there, it's all well and good to sue the person or to have the person arrested if there's a law, but the pictures are out there forever. You never take them back. So it comes right back to what I said before. Don't take pictures of yourself doing something you're not comfortable with a million people seeing at some point. If you're going to take pictures of yourself doing something, do it on your own camera, not the other person's camera. And I'm talking specifically with men and women here, because it's true. A woman sending out a picture of a guy having sex with her, the guy is like, people are thinking, way to go, dude. But the woman is the one who gets judged as being some kind of slut, even though they're both consensually having sex.
I always have an issue with this mentality because, you know what, if guys are in the mindset of enjoying promiscuous sex, usually for that to happen, you need a promiscuous woman. So, you know.
No, you don't. Promiscuous means many partners. You just need a woman who enjoys having sex. You may not know that her partner is a male slut. Lauren, you're a woman. Talk to us. What do you think?
Yes, please. Okay, so just on the basic note of consent, right? So it really should just be as basic as that. So if you take a photo of your partner, you have consented to it, and that's fine, cool, whatever. When you guys break up, at that point, that photo was part of the relationship. So to me, when you guys break up, that becomes void almost, right? Like you don't have that right at that point. She is no longer consented to have that happen. Like, you know, you're right, Ed, in the fact that, you know, when I've been in relationships, like I understand that guys brag, so I'm like cool with that, whatever, I get it. But I swear to God, if I ever find out that if one decided to share something after the fact, I would not be happy, because our relationship is over, and then that photo of our relationship is void.
So you're saying that the contract of consent to that photograph is tied to the consent of being in the relationship. So when the relationship ends, the consent ends, which is makes
on a very
sense.
basic level, right? Because you know, on a super super basic level, you know, you can still be in a relationship and that person, your partner, share that photo with someone that you wouldn't be okay with, and that's still not okay. You still, on the most basic of level, you have to ask consent. Like, consent is just the most basic, most respectful thing that you can do when you're in a relationship and otherwise. So,
but you guys are, I mean, it's wonderful, the view of humanity that you guys are talking about, but I'm talking about the view of humanity that really exists. And that's why I'm saying, don't do it. Just don't do it. Yeah. And you know what? If you take the pictures, delete them.
Absolutely. Yeah. Definitely yourself.
Yeah, like if you take the pictures, if it's fun seeing yourself sexually like that in the pictures of the video, okay, fine. Delete the damn things afterwards. You know, there's ways of avoiding this. And while I agree, Lauren, with you, that there should be some kind of, that there is a moral contract that those photographs were part and parcel of the organism that was formed, you know, of our relationship, and that organism is now dead, so you can't be using it. That's, if you're dealing with a moral person, they're gonna, you know, they would delete the pictures if they're moral. but you can't enforce it until you put laws. Now, there are laws against revenge porn. There are laws against revenge porn, and that's a good thing. But it still runs up against, in some places, the question of who owns the photograph and what determines revenge porn. It's a sticky thing. It's a part of the fact that now every single person has a camera in every device that they own. And also that people want to feel sexy. And we've determined that porn stars are sexy. So having yourself, you know, photographed or videoed doing something sexy makes you sexy, makes you like a porn star, makes you, you know, the sexual dynamo, which is just nonsense because I've been on porn sets. And let me tell you something, that place, that's all business. All right. There's, it's all business. Okay. There's no relationship. There's no, it's just business. It is the most cold thing you can imagine. Sometimes they're friends and they're hanging around and then the director says, okay. And then all of a sudden they're having sex. And then afterwards they're friends again. But a lot of the time they don't talk to each other before the sex. And they don't talk to each other afterwards. Once they say cut, it's over. So don't fall for the glamorization of porn. And it doesn't, I mean, okay, you're an exhibitionist or something. You want the photograph taken. Fine. Look at it. Enjoy it. Delete it. But have it on your own phone, ladies. Do not let any other guy or any partner have those videos or photos. Do it on your own phone. Keep control of them and do not put them on the internet in an email to anybody or anything. Nothing. Just don't do it. Somehow people survived for generations without sending nude selfies to people. We can survive going forward not doing that either. I'm not saying that it's your fault, but I'm saying that it is poor judgment and just don't do it. Don't trust these guys who tell you, I won't show this to anybody. You don't know that. You don't know these people that well. You know, who knows how long you've known them? And who know? You know, Billy Joel's song. We all have a face that we hide away forever. All right, so just don't, because I hate seeing this shit come back and the guy is the big stud and the woman is a slut, because I hate that double standard.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, Lauren, go on.
I was going to say that it kind of reminds me of the mansplaining episode of sexual harassment in the workplace, where can guys do better, right? So to have the onus be just delete the pictures after, why not be like, hey bro, I don't want to see your ex.
Yeah.
Oh, there's no question that that's a part of it. But I'm just talking practical realities. Do everything you can to stop this shit from coming back and biting you in the ass, especially if it's a picture of you biting someone in the ass. All right. I think that I all three of us, we agree. The notion of revenge porn is revolting. The notion of taking something, a photograph or a video that was taken consensually when you were in a respectful relationship, hopefully respectful relationship with somebody, and then because you're pissed off because you got dumped, you throw it on the internet, you're a piece of shit. Okay? The person that does that is a piece of shit. You are gaining nothing in the eyes of most of the world. Most of your peers think you're a piece of shit. They may not tell you that outright, but they know you're a piece of shit. Other women are not going to be in any hurry to have any kind of relationship with you because you're a piece of shit. All right. So guys who do that, you're a piece of shit. And I understand some guys, you get heartbroken, you get upset, you feel you've been taken advantage of. There are some women out there that are not nice women, and they may use you for something. They may break your heart. I'm sorry. That's been going on forever. It doesn't give you the right to give in to these juvenile notions of, well, I'll show them and put these pictures out there. Okay. You have no right to do this. There is no justification. And as much as you think that you're going to get other people thinking that you are some kind of sexual hero, no, they're going to think you're a piece of shit and they're going to feel bad for the woman. And if you're doing it because you think the woman is a bitch and was nasty to you and maybe was cheating on you or whatever, this isn't showing the woman as a bitch or someone who cheated on you. This is getting sympathy for the woman who you think is a terrible person. So you're not solving anything. You're not accomplishing anything you want to do other than telling everybody that you are an untrustworthy piece of shit. And that's where we'll stop that. There's other topics. Let's move on. Dogs on patios. Boy, talk about jumping from one thing to another.
I feel so much more at ease with this topic.
Yeah, right? That's well, because you can take pictures of dogs on patios and the dogs aren't embarrassed later.
I always ask permission from the owner first.
Well, yeah, and that's just basic. But Doug Ford, the premier, reemerged from whatever cage they held him in during the federal election. They kept him back so that he wouldn't hurt the chances of Scheer winning. But just the things he did before he was locked away were enough to turn Ontario against voting for somebody who is basically another Doug Ford. Anyway, he was released, and the legislature in Ontario resumed, and they passed a whole bunch of, or proposed a whole bunch of legislation. And of course, heavily leaning on something to do with granting people the ability to drink more alcohol in more places at more times, which is very disturbing that when you think of all the legislation from Doug Ford and his government that has made obtaining and drinking alcohol easier, when you realize the tragic history of substance abuse in his family, and it's not just his late brother, his sister's a disaster in the same way. So the whole thing is just sick and disturbing. But one of the things that one of the laws he passed, because, you know, this is urgent and pressing. There's people with autistic kids who need attention. There's hallway medicine that needs attention. There's all kinds of things that need attention. But hey, let's pass a law that says that it's okay to have dogs on restaurant patios. Most people didn't even know this was a law, and why they made this a priority their first day back boggles the mind. But Lauren, you wanted to talk about this because you have a personal perspective on this.
I do. And so first off, the fact that he's proposing this now when patio season is over is just kind of weird. So I work in a restaurant, and so I asked my general manager how she kind of felt about this. And she said that, you know, there are some places that actually have dogs on the patio. it's not a big deal. But on the other hand, there's issues of accessibility. There's traffic issues with just, you know, walking to and from. There's a matter of whether your dog is well behaved or not, whether your dog will relieve itself or be aggressive to another dog in that space. There's many, many reasons as to why this isn't necessarily a good idea.
Now, you're talking about traffic. You're talking about when a server is carrying a tray and sometimes can barely see beyond the tray. They can see the human beings sitting at tables or standing. They may not necessarily see what a dog lying on the ground. Exactly. And so it creates a say the dog, and I love dogs. We all love dogs, but it creates a safety hazard for the server and for the dog and for whoever gets whatever food or glasses spilled on them.
Yep. And she made mention just of, like, you know, in case the dog decides to, you know, pee on one of the poles, then, you know, who's liable for that? Is the restaurant liable because it's their patio, or is it the owner because it's their dog?
Never mind peeing. What if they decide to squat and drop one?
Yep. So there's that.
While the patrons are eating, there's the dog drops and takes a number two.
Yep. And the argument of, oh, well, don't worry, my dog is really well behaved.
Everybody says that about their dog.
Exactly. And, you know, some people may not have their dogs near other dogs at all, so they may not react necessarily well to a different dog. Some dogs don't like certain people, right? You know, rescue animals may be, you know, scared by a certain type of person, like tall people, short people, kids, men, women, doesn't matter, right? So they could freak out.
Well, a rescue animal is trained to behave on a patio. You're talking about rescue. You're not talking about a service dog. You're talking about a rescue. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes,
I see what you mean. A dog that's been abused. Yeah.
Service animals will be allowed anyways. Yeah, but like rescues, like they can be sketchy.
Because they've been abused, and you don't even know what the... I had one of my dogs, wonderful dog, Snickers, may she rest in peace. She was a German Shepherd, Australian cattle dog mix, and she came with loads of traumas from what she'd experienced, and it took years to get her past it, just with kindness, but she would still always bark at tall men. Mm-hmm. And if you carried anything in your hand, like even a rolled up newspaper, anything like that, she would like growl and stuff. And at her size, you were afraid of her. Now, of course, the truth is that dogs who growl aren't dogs to be afraid of, because dogs who are growling are warning you. It's the dogs that just bite you out of the blue, the little ones you got to worry about. But you don't know with rescue dogs what might trigger them. You don't know who abused them in the past, and you don't know what's going to possibly remind them of this. And so, well, it seems like, what's the big deal? So you let the person have the dog on the patio. You know what? I see the dogs tied up on the other side of the patio, on the fence, usually like on Bloor Street or something in Toronto. And as much as the dog's like, you know, why the hell am I here? I understand it. The dog's in view and not being abused. The danger to servers and to patrons and to your olfactory senses should a dog drop a deuce or to an innocent person walking by who triggers a fear in a rescue animal that's been abused. This is just, why was this a necessary law, a necessary piece of legislation to introduce? Everything with these guys is all about just the guys hanging around having a drink with their dog and their pals. What do you think, Hafiz?
I was on mute. I think this whole rule has not been clearly thought out very well, just like everything else Doug Ford does. I think it's completely knee-jerk, and I think he's just released this to score some votes, because honestly, the only people willing to vote for Doug Ford right now might be a golden retriever.
Yeah, well, because when you say that he's scoring votes, I'm thinking, I can't imagine anybody going into the polling booth, and the biggest issue for them is, well, he let me put my let me take my dog on a restaurant patio. But usually, those aren't the kind of issues that an election turns on. But, you know, it's this whole good old boy, very male culture of drinking and socializing while drinking that he keeps pushing, and I guess he's hoping to get elected by, I don't know, the Budweiser frogs. I don't know, but this is, you know, Lauren said right away she wanted to talk about this issue because as somebody who works in a restaurant, this is going to affect you come summer, is it not?
Yes, it will. And I can tell you it's not going to be good for us. Like our patio, even just as it stands, it's not built to have anything.
And how many dogs are you allowed? Like, exactly. Every table brings a dog. Like, look, I, as a former dog owner, he passed away and whatnot, but I would love to take my dog places, but the dude would not be the type of dog I would take to a patio because he would want to go to every table and say hello. Look, and the thing we've got to realize is every dog owner, just like every parent, thinks their child and or dog is the best ever. And they're not going to use rational judgment in this. I mean, what if there's a guy with a pit bull at one table that, you know, he got because it's big and growly and whatnot, and a chihuahua on the other, and there's a fight that emerges. This is a health issue for people. Like, what if the...
Listen, you know what the truth is? That the chihuahua poses more danger of biting you than the pit bull.
Exactly.
The only danger with... And it's interesting because you mentioned pit bull because Doug Ford is talking about looking at reversing the ban on pit bulls in Ontario, which would be the only thing I think I could ever agree with him because pit bulls, I've known them, wonderful dogs. They got a bad reputation because when they bite, they can do tremendous damage, but they don't choose to bite. The reason that pit bulls have a reputation is because they're big, scary dogs, and so douchebags get them as penis extensions and train them to be aggressive, but the breed itself isn't especially harmful. Any vet will tell you that they've been bitten by small dogs way bigger, way more times than big dogs. I think that what they should have done, you know, instead of banning pit bulls, is banning douchebags in public spaces.
Look, and this is what I'm saying, though, but those douchebags with those pit bulls are as likely to go to Lauren's restaurant as someone with a regular pit bull. The fact remains, though, at the end of the day, there's a threat to the security of the patrons as well as the staff there on being bitten by a dog.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the silver lining. What they have done, the Ontario legislature, if this law passes, is made it legal for bar owners and restaurant owners to allow dogs on the patio. However, it doesn't compel them to allow them there. And people who own their own businesses, whatever, they have the right to refuse service to anybody. So they have the right to say, still, no dogs on the patio. So they, you know, somebody can't say, well, the law now says I can. It's like the law says you can because the law before said you couldn't. But this doesn't affect whether the owner of the private establishment says it's okay to have the dog there or not. And the, you know, you may lose a customer by saying, I'm sorry, your dog is not welcome on our patio. But you may gain more customers not having to worry about stepping in dog shit. So it will become legal to allow this to happen. It's not like Doug Ford and his gas pump stickers, which are compulsory. Yeah. This isn't a law which says you must allow dogs on a patio. It just says if they're there, you can't get charged with some bylaw infraction.
Now that's interesting that you've you brought up just private owners of restaurants with patios. It'd be interesting to see what would happen with chain restaurants, right? Because if a franchise, like if a chain restaurant has decided that no, we are not going or to allow dogs on the patio, or let's say that they said yes, but an individual franchisee has said, well, no, like, you know, my staff, whatever, someone is allergic to dogs or whatever, right? They're just saying, no, we're choosing not to. It'd be interesting to see if the person with the dog could make a claim at that point that the chain restaurant has said yes, like the chain itself has said yes, the law is saying that it's okay, but this individual...
Well, that would become... That's a subject for whatever the franchisee agreement is. If the franchise agreement allows that latitude that the franchisee can decide who, you know, if a dog can be there or not, then there's no case. And if the franchisee agreement says that, no, you must abide by it and let the dog be on the patio, and the franchisee says no, then the franchisee's in danger of losing their franchise or paying a fine to the franchisor. So that's a whole other separate issue. But, you know, I don't think we're going to see a tremendous increase of dogs on patios, because I think most restaurants recognize that for the safety of their servers, if nothing else, it's not good to have obstructions below your eye line that can move from one place to another. It's not like a pylon that's placed in one spot that you know where it is. A dog moves from place to place, so you may have walked out seeing where the dog was, but when you walk back in with a tray, the dog may have moved, and now you're tripping on it. So I don't think that – I think that owners who don't want, A, their servers to be injured, B, their patrons to be covered in food and drink, or C, to lose the food and the drinks, like the cost of the food and drinks, and have to replace them, plus the cutlery and the plates. Those things are going to weigh more heavily on somebody's decision than whether they want to let somebody have their dog there. And I mean, hopefully common sense will win out. It doesn't win out in Queen's Park, but hopefully it'll win out in the restaurants and bars across the province of Ontario. And I don't know what the laws are in other provinces about this and what the experiences have been. And maybe I should have researched that. But you know what? Hindsight's 2020. I want to thank you guys for being here, because I think we've beaten that subject to death. And it was talk about taking a left turn at Albuquerque, revenge porn to dogs on a patio. Maybe at this point I should mention, for people who think that I'm a dog hater, I always have a rescue dog or two in my home. And my favorite piece of art is dogs playing poker. So don't anybody be thinking that. Anyway.
Can hate on me. I have a cat.
What's that?
I said you guys can hate on me. It's fine. I have a cat.
Are you kidding? I have cats too.
I got two black cats.
Black cats are the best. As far as I'm concerned, here's the thing about dogs and cats. While I love them both, I can live without a dog. I can't imagine living without a cat or cats. Because a dog will stick its nose in anybody's asshole. Whereas a cat, when a cat likes you, it's because you've earned it. And let me tell you something else. And this is a digression, but it's my goddamn show. Anybody I've ever known who said they hate cats, not they're allergic or they don't like cats particularly because they had a bad experience or whatever. People who say they hate cats, every single one of them has turned out to be a raging asshole. Every single one. It's just the same thing as people who say they hate kids. Not that they don't want to have kids, not that they hate kids, the concept of kids. They turn out to be raging assholes too. So people who hate cats, you rarely hear people say they hate dogs. Rarely hear people say they hate dogs. But you will hear people say they hate cats. Everybody I've ever met who says they hate cats is a raging asshole. So if you have a cat and someone comes over and they say, oh, I hate cats, throw the person out. Do yourself a favor before you discover why this person is a raging asshole. Know that they are a raging asshole right then and there. And before they can demonstrate it to you, get them the hell out of your life. And also, if somebody's there and they don't say they hate cats, but the cat doesn't like the person, a cat that is normally friendly and welcomes people but avoids the person, that person is also some kind of crackpot. So start smiling and moving backwards towards the exit with that person too. Cats are wonderful guides as to who we should have in our life and who's a raging asshole. All right. And you got a cat. Like all three of us are cat owners. Anybody here disagree with that?
I do not.
Do not disagree.
All right. And by the way, you have two black cats. I've got black cats. Black cats, for those of you out there, if you're thinking of adopting cats, black cats are exceptionally smart and full of personality and very affectionate. But also, because of those old medieval traditions of the witch's familiar being the black cat, hell, we just had Halloween, everything's black cats, evil black cat. They are the cats that are the least likely to be adopted at shelters and wind up being euthanized. So the unit... In the United States, after Black Panther was released, shelters started naming the black cats after characters in the Black Panther. And all of a sudden, they started to get adopted because they put a different spin on the association. But think about black cats when you're going to adopt a cat, because they need homes. And my best friend in the entire world in my life was a tuxedo cat named Inky. All right. So
they're like mini house panthers. I mean, who would not want a mini house panther around the house?
Yeah, and it's not the same as house rhinos. Was that the thing?
No.
House hippos. House, right. house hippos.
Yeah,
house hippos. All right. Lauren Griffith from the wilds of Barrie. Thank you for joining us and sharing your perspective. It was valuable, not just your perspective as a woman and a person from Barrie, but it was good to have somebody who works in the food service industry pointing out the issues of dogs on patios. Because quite frankly, before you brought it up on the show, I hadn't thought about the safety issue for servers. So thank you. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for that. Good to have you here. And people should listen to Lauren as well on the Zodcast with Neil Wadowich, where she is co-host. Neil is currently working at a new endeavor. So the Zodcast is not as regular as it was before, but it continues, and Lauren will be there. So look for it on FU Politics. Hafiz Noorani, digital content and marketing strategist. Is that correct?
Yes, yes, okay. That is.
I got it right this time. Lives in Vancouver, also produces our wonderful show, Mensplaining, which is men talking to men about being better men in 2019. It's not about crying. It's not about being aggrieved. It's about, guys, how do we avoid being douchebags in a world that's changing around us so fast? So thank you for that and for being here and for bringing up the whole subject of Katie Hill. I think it was an important discussion and gave people some things to think about. And I'm certain that after listening, there are some people out there who are going to say that I blame the victim. So to all of you, go ahead. I'm waiting for your emails and your comments because you didn't pay any fucking attention to what I was saying, and you just decided to take offense at whatever it is that'll make you seem like a better person because you're going to criticize me as being somebody bad. So go ahead, feel good about it. Say that I'm blaming a victim. If it makes you feel like you're somehow a more virtuous individual, I'm glad to contribute to that fake self-image of yours. And that's it. And if you like our program and the programs on the FU Network's FU Politics channel, help us out by donating, become a subscriber, become a member of this community by subscribing through Patreon. Starts at $1 a month. We've got people contributing $1, $5, $20. One person's even $50. But whatever you can afford, all right? I'm not asking you to bankrupt yourself, but the big right-wing media companies that dominate our media right now, that are feeding us a lot of shit and wanted to get Andrew Scheer elected, they have a lot of money, and they have a lot of dark money, which is money that comes from places like land developers and so on that doesn't really get reported. It just sort of gets donated to groups like Ontario Proud and things like that, which promote racist ideologies, or they'll say they don't, fine. But as far as I'm concerned, the message I read from them is that certainly anti-social, anti-Canadian values, as far as I'm concerned. There's a lot of companies out there with deep, deep pockets, some of them financed from the U.S., that are trying to turn Canada into America Junior with the same intolerant attitudes. We're trying to promote moderate dialogue here amongst people with some civility and some sense of humor and free of jargon, so you can understand what these issues are about in a way that you don't when you watch mainstream news and they're all talking to these pundits who have these $35 words, okay? This is media for the people. So support us, for fuck's sake. Patreon is patreon.com/FU Network TV. Patreon.com/FU Network TV. Once again, patreon.com/FU Network TV. Or PayPal, if you just want to give us a one-time boost, you go to PayPal to our email address, funetworktv@gmail.com, funetworktv@gmail.com, funetworktv@gmail.com. If you're wondering why I said all those things three times, it's because I listen to radio, and they always repeat their website three times because apparently that is what allows people to remember it. So that's why I did that annoying thing. All right, Hafiz, Lauren, we'll talk again.
Absolutely.
All right. And to all of you out there, thank you for listening. Though perhaps you should be thanking us for enriching this last hour and a bit. Go forth, be fruitful, and multiply. I'm at the Sock for Rock'em Sock'em Politics. You're on FU Politics on Fun, the FU Network. This is Fun, the FU Network.